In a world completely overrun by inane media, there are podcasts that rise above the rest. This is not one of those. Two middle-aged white guys from Middle America talk about random shit for about an hour or so. This is the Magical Talking Hat.
Gobble gobble. I thought that was like better than next. Welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast, the only podcast that is thankful. This really, none of the others are.
No, this is our first annual Thanksgiving episode. If we continue to put them out on Thursdays...
You're right. It'll always be on Thanksgiving.
We will have a Thanksgiving episode.
Anyway, welcome to the Magical Talking Hat podcast. I am Tony.
And I'm William.
And this is episode 37, the first annual Thanksgiving episode. Yes, Thanksgiving, the one day a year when vegetarians must pause in their evil campaign of darkness to sit down and eat a turkey leg. So do it, William.
Not going to do it. Nope.
Then why are you holding that turkey leg and staring at it with hunger in your eyes?
Because that's not happening. You're just making it up. He's just making it up, people. It's not really happening.
He's going to eat the turkey leg.
Whatever. We are thankful for our listeners. Especially the ones who are listening on Thanksgiving. That's nice of you to do, to take a little time out of your holiday.
I'm a little concerned for my listeners that are listening on Thanksgiving.
Why?
You should be with your family fighting and then eating pie.
Right, but there comes a point where things quiet down and some people are napping or they're watching the football game and you don't need to hear what's going on in the football game to watch it. And you think, well, you know what? I'm going to put my earbuds in and I'm going to listen.
The 40, the 30, the 20, damn, what's wrong with you? There, that just brought it home for you there. No, that's the thing in my family. I don't remember what comedian it was years ago that was talking about family gathering, family reunions, and it says, we all just yell and argue and drive each other crazy, and then we have pie. And in our house, that's what we just said. Like, that's how they work.
So far, we have never had any fights or drama on Thanksgiving.
What about pie?
Pie, plenty of that.
Okay. We haven't had, like, well... We probably have. I don't know. The big ones I remember were always at Christmas, and they were when I was in college. So, that's understandable. But, oh my God, did you see that pass? That was, you know, it's a sports thing, right? And, oh, look at all the points scored by that team with that color combination. Woo! Go. Do that thing that allows points.
Touchdowns.
Yay, touchdowns.
Yeah, touchdowns.
And strikes?
Are you... No, that's another... Say something
wickets?
About... Say something about the ref being blind, maybe.
Oh, what kind of call was that?
There you go.
Oh, you can clearly see he had no pants on. That's got to be illegal, right? You gotta wear pants in football, isn't that a thing?
Yeah, that's
see,
that's a thing.
What are you blind? Look, got no pants on. You should be able to see that. After further review of the playback, it is determined number 47 offense was wearing no pants. 5-yard penalty.
Just 5 yards, huh?
It's 5 yards. If he had his, didn't have a shirt on either, it'd be 10.
Okay.
But they wouldn't know what number he was, so. Further review, that guy. Yeah, the NFL's going to start doing shirts and skins. All right, so welcome to... It's totally Thanksgiving. Shut up. It's not last week or today.
Even though we don't have anything to talk about in terms of consuming media.
I totally did. I saw... A movie. Oh, no, 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 no.
Yeah, really?
What probably is happening, not right now, but like in a couple days from now.
a couple days from Thanksgiving.
Yes, now. And I'm not sure how I feel about it.
Okay.
But I think we should discuss it.
The end of November?
No, a couple days, like that Saturday after Thanksgiving today. Thanks today. You suck at this. Is me and the family are probably all going to see the Muppet movie, the new one.
Oh.
And I have very mixed feelings about this.
In just a few days from now.
A couple days from thanks today.
Yeah, okay. I don't think I'm going to see it.
I don't know that I want. I mean, I'm okay with. I don't know that I'm actively looking. Like, it's there are only a couple movies that we, as a whole family, because remember we have like a 4-year-old and a 7-year-old in there, could go see.
Yeah.
Okay, we have a 4-year-old, 7-year-old, and some Pentecostals. So really, we are limited.
The Pentecostals won't want to see the Muppets. Come on.
No, it's their idea. Actually,
that was a joke, by the way. Sorry, Pentecostals. I wasn't trying.
Pentecostals love Muppet. I don't know what that means. It sounds bad. Like, I say it, and immediately I feel embarrassed.
You know, feel embarrassed.
You know, Pentecostals, they love Muppets. Like, I don't even know what that means, but it doesn't sound good at all. And I did not mean whatever that might have meant.
Blood Sparrow's going to say we should make that a t-shirt.
Pentecostals love Muppets. No, but... Yeah, I'm really okay. Why are you not going to go see it? Let's start there.
Well, I really can't deal with non-Jim Henson Kermit. I mean, I thought I could. I thought
non-Jim Henson Kermit's been around for bloody ever. I know, I mean, and several movies already.
Yes, right.
Have you not seen any of them?
I've seen a few, and it was like I just can't.
They made
deal with
you
that.
Scream.
Yeah, or... I can't do it. And not just that, but. After Jim died, a lot I did see some of their projects immediately after, and there was just something missing from them. I think even they would have thought so. In fact, the only thing I've seen come out of that company that I thought captured even a little bit of the original sort of life and spark of Jim Henson was
Fraggle Rock.
No, that was going on while he was still alive. Farscape. Right?
Yeah, Farscape was Henson Creature Company, yeah. I mean, they didn't make the show, but they made the creatures.
Oh, I thought it was kind of their... They produced it and everything. I thought it was their deal.
I don't... Well, maybe. Somebody will tell us.
We
got a Farscape loving crowd.
It wasn't a great show, but I thought, yeah, this is... It was bold, I guess. Bold in the way that Jim Henson often was.
Mm.
And, you know, when I see Muppet stuff... It just doesn't, I don't know. And like I said, every time I see the Kermit that's, you know, done by this other person, it just doesn't seem right.
I thought for a while Brian Henson did the voice.
He did.
But now he doesn't.
No. He didn't do it for very long. And whoever's doing it now, you know, sounds okay and everything, but it's just, I don't know, something's just not right. And I have no interest in seeing it at all.
Okay, you have totally different reasons than I expected.
Well...
There are, like, published reasons not to see it.
When I was a kid, my heroes, I mean, a lot of kids, their heroes were sports.
Your heroes were puppets.
No.
That explains so much.
I was going to say, a lot of people had sports heroes or movie heroes or whatever. I had two heroes.
Stuffed animals with hands shoved up their butts.
Jim Henson and Mel Blanc were my heroes when I was growing up.
Oh, God.
I loved them. I thought they were awesome.
I didn't think it was possible, but my opinion of you has dropped.
Well.
Even further.
My work here is done.
There we go. No, I loved Henson. I remember having it at the time, and it still is there, as unnatural as it is, something of a sort of anger towards Jim Henson.
Anger?
Yes. Hmm. Because he should not be dead.
Well, when
the fucker should have gone to the doctor.
I you know, sometimes when someone passes away who's famous, I have a real hard time understanding why people who didn't even know them personally get really upset. But when Jim Henson passed away, it was very upsetting to me.
I was just mad at him. I use this a lot when I try and convince people to go to the doctor. I'm like, he was sick.
Yeah, yeah.
And he didn't go, and his lungs filled up with fluid, and like,
walking,
oh my God.
Walking pneumonia. Yes. He just refused to go.
And I'm like, oh my God, he would totally still be here and have done all... He would be president by now. Like, oh my God.
Yeah, I know.
And in reality, like, all the people who die younger than they should, like, he probably would have been around long enough to suck, and then everybody would remember him that way.
I don't know.
It always helps to die early for that kind of thing.
He was something else. I mean, he always had some new
thing. He would have invented the internet early.
I don't know, but it was just very sad when he passed. So yeah, I've never been able to really... I remember when I went to Disney World, they had a Muppet a feature, you know.
Yeah.
You went to this place and there was a 3D movie with the Muppets in it, and he was doing Kermit and everything. And I almost choked up watching it. This was long after he was gone. And it was just so, I don't know.
Why couldn't they have taken George Lucas and let us keep...
Oh, no, don't even. Don't do that on our podcast. Wishing other people are dead. That's horrible.
That's only George Lucas. He's not even real anymore. He's totally CGI.
Okay.
He's the remastered George Lucas. Speaking of which, the Blu-ray... Do you remember the Blu-rays for the prequel? They took out Phantom Menace had... an actual puppet Yoda, and they took it out.
I heard that,
and replaced it with CGI. Because you know you gotta. At this point, I think he's doing it specifically to piss people off.
Well, I want...
Because that's the only reason you do that.
He didn't take puppet Yoda out of the older movies, though.
No. Wait for it, though. He put fucking Hayden Christensen's ghost in him.
Yeah, why did he do that? That didn't make any sense. I remember I was watching
because,
it, and I was thinking...
Because, thanks to the prequels... He's only ever been 16-year-old whiny Hayden Christensen.
Right, but when they take his mask off, he's this old guy. And...
Yes, I was waiting for that. I was totally waiting for this, like, photoshopped Hayden Christensen face over the top.
Well, maybe they'll still do that.
That's probably on YouTube. No, but there are published, documented reasons why Muppet lovers, and even lovers of the other films since Henson has died, may not like this and may not want to go to this. Okay. Including Frank Oz don't like it and didn't participate.
Really?
Yes.
Well, but there's Frank Oz character. There's Miss Piggy's in it.
And Fozzie, and yeah. But he refused to do the voice.
No way.
Yes. This is why I thought you weren't gonna see this. This is the thing.
Wow.
Frank Oz and others are not happy with what Jason Segel has done here. They are not happy with the script. In particular, what they are basically saying is Jason Segel, who loves the Muppets and who loves puppetry, has put, for the sake of, you know, narrative interest, the Muppets into story situations that are very unlike their character and unlike the spirit of the Muppets. The specifics, I know, apparently involve the group breaking up due to issues of bitterness due to inequity in pay, and involves Kermit living in a giant mansion while the others are too poor.
What?
Yes.
Well, that doesn't make any sense at all. Oh, no, hold on here a second. So, is all this being allowed to happen because Disney's really taking over the property in earnest and trying to make it this, you know...
I'm assuming.
Is this the Disney disease that we're...
I would guess. I mean,
because, you know, another great hero of mine, obviously, when I was a kid, was Frank Oz, but I didn't mention him because he's still alive, I guess.
Yes.
I don't... No reason to wait till someone's dead.
You don't get to talk to him.
Yeah. But, and
the,
I have
the,
a lot
the
of...
The Frank Oz seance we did was a waste of time.
Yeah, really. But,
we were like, if you're there, tell us. And he's like, I'm on the phone. Could you just pick up? And, like, and we're like, shh. We're contacting the dead.
Shut up,
Frank Oz.
He's a genius, not just for his characterizations and his puppeteering, but also his film direction. I've liked just about every film he's ever directed. But for him to not have anything to do with the project, I would think the studio would say, well, I guess we're not doing it. Mm-hmm. But if it's Disney, well, yeah. If they think there's money to be made.
Muppets and Jason Segel, who is hot property right now.
I mean, if they think they can sell toys with it, they're going to
make it. And, I mean, don't get me wrong. I mean, it may be Jason Segel is screwed up. I'm sure it was not intentional. The man loves puppets, and he loves whimsy. I have tremendous respect for Jason Segel. Whatever his finished product is, he really works at the kind of comedy that he wants and the kind of actor he wants to be. And he really appreciates the craft.
If Frank wasn't going to do it, I wouldn't have done it.
I don't know what happened. By then, he was probably locked in. I don't know. But Yeah, so I don't know. I will report on it after we see it.
I just can't imagine.
And imagine Kermit the Frog living in a big mansion while all the other Muppets are poor.
That doesn't make any sense at all.
Exactly. That's the thing.
Henson, Jim would never have done that to those characters, ever, ever, ever.
Yep.
Someone over at... Well, no, I guess they don't have to, because Disney owns everything.
Disney owns everything. Disney owns this podcast. I don't know if you people knew that.
No, I didn't
know
that.
So, go to... Yeah, it was another thing at the business meeting.
Oh.
Yeah,
so... You never invite me to the business meetings.
Because you won't let us sell to Disney. Now, listen. I got $10.
Well, what'd you get from Kraft Dinner?
Box Kraft Dinner.
Is that... So, what happens when you eat it? Will they give you another one?
We'll cross that bridge when
you know.
We come to
listen,
it.
You say you don't bring me to meetings because I won't deal with Disney. But what are you getting? $10
$10
and a box of Kraft Dinner. You are the worst negotiator ever.
What have you got? Nothing.
Because you don't invite me to the meetings.
Exactly. Because I don't want to split it. See, if you were at the meeting, it would be $5 each.
No, if I was at the meeting, we'd say something to get more than $10.
Yeah. See, you say you don't understand. Because I went in the meeting saying more than $10, but they're rough.
Okay.
They're
maybe you
mean.
Shouldn't have said more than $10.
No,
maybe you should
have
actually said like $10,000 or.
No, I didn't.
Don't just say, well, I want more than $10, that's for sure.
That's
and then they said, well, $10 is what you're going to get. No. And you said, well, okay then.
No.
And the box of Kraft Dinner, bonus.
It was in my head. I didn't just say. No, I walked in thinking I'm going to get a lot of money. I didn't specifically think more than $10, but in my head, an amount of a lot of money is more than $10.
Okay.
I'm thinking I'm going to get a lot of money. But what I'm saying is those guys are mean. Like they know how to get into your head. And at the end, they're like $10 and you're like, okay, just make the
They know how to
stop.
Get into your head.
Well, yeah.
You know, I realize people think I'm a nice guy and whatever, and I try to be a nice guy, but, you know, when I'm up against people like that, I don't back down.
All right. I might have to use your powers. I don't know what else to call
But see, you'd have to agree that if we didn't get what he wanted, we would walk away. You'd have to walk away.
But grab dinner.
See, and that's why there's no point in me even showing up, because if you won't walk away with me... If you're going to stay there and take the $10, then it's over. That's why you really don't invite me, because you just want to take the $10.
Take the $10. You can get a pizza for
What do you like when you buy a car? You don't deal? You don't say, hey.
That's what the producer's for.
Oh, I see.
And also, if you'll recall, we kind of got taken on our last car deal.
Does the producer walk away and you stay there saying... Hey, I really want this car. Don't make me work.
No, that's the thing. I can't eat a car, so it's less of an issue for me. But Kraft Dinner, you know. No, but we pretty much got screwed on our last car deal, so clearly we don't know what we're doing either. So there's that.
Ugh. Oh, well. $10 is $10.
$10 is $10. So now we're quoting Geddy Lee.
Geddy Lee. That's what Geddy Lee says. $10 is $10.
Take off. To the great. We're going to get sued. I better not.
Well, a Canadian and Canadian Kraft Dinner, so.
There we go. That's what they should have been. Like, you know, we talked to our lawyer. We got $10 and a box of Kraft Dinner. So we're not morons.
Oh, man.
My negotiating inspiration was McKenzie Brothers.
Yes.
Okay, so 18 and a half minutes. Should we do the thing?
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay.
Since all we're going to have for Thanksgiving dinner is
Kraft dinner. Which?
That we keep mentioning without getting paid.
Yes. Wait, hold on. Even if we did, it'd be in that funny Canadian money.
Yeah.
Kraft dinner.
This is from Mark McKibben.
Oh, Mark McKibben, hard hat number one.
Feels a little
Mark
digested.
Feels a little digestive. Are you implying there is stomach acid on that card?
That's I want to wash my hands.
That's
I'll just put it like that.
Disgusting.
Is U.S. government screwed because citizenship is free if you're born there? What about military service required to vote?
Also, like Starship Troopers. Or you could just go the Israeli route and military service required.
I wonder if we're the ones who are screwed because citizenship is free when you're born here. I mean, let's face it. I was born in Des Moines, Iowa. Therefore, I'm a U.S. citizen. Did I have a choice in that? No.
No.
So wherever,
which I always think is really funny.
Everywhere I go, it's like I have U.S. stamped on my forehead, and I'm going to be treated a certain way, and I didn't have any choice
in
that.
And here's where you get them. People say, like, if you don't like it, go someplace else, as though that's an option. As though I can be like, okay, I'm going to pick a country, go there, because I can afford to fly there, no matter where it is, and say, I'm a citizen of here now. And they're going to be like, welcome. Yeah.
Now, okay.
I always love that. They're like, if you don't like it, get out of here. I can't. I'm a citizen. Like, you know, like, I don't have a choice in the matter. Not only did I not have a choice, it's a really hard, complicated, uncertain, and often expensive process to achieve citizenship somewhere else.
And you can be very attached to where you grew up.
Absolutely,
without being attached to the state you live in or the United States you live in. Whatever.
And also, you can totally be patriotic without and still find major fault in a lot of things in your country.
But this is an interesting question, I think, because I guess I'm not sure. Forgive me, Mark, for not knowing what you mean here, but how does it mess up the United States for citizenship to be automatic when you're born here?
Because any stupid schmo can vote. But most of the stupid schmoes don't, I suppose, so there's that. But yeah, it's the military service in order to vote thing is essentially proving yourself to be committed or, I don't know, able to kill Nazis.
All right, so
in order to vote.
So if to be a citizen, to be considered a citizen of the United States, you had to serve in the military, and therefore you could vote. And so anyone born here that didn't serve in the military would not be a citizen of the United States?
Well, would not. Again, I think we're doing Starship Troopers here. You still get to live here, but you have no control in the government, is what it is.
Hmm.
You have no it's an influence issue. It's not, you know, you don't get education because you weren't in the military. Because that would be hard to do because of the six-year-old, you know.
So
you can't go into first grade until first you go to war.
The suggestion is that there are a bunch of morons or otherwise people with no stake in the decision-making process who are nevertheless really involved in the decision-making process.
Or can become president.
Yeah, so...
So if we do it this way, only people who are committed enough to serve in the military get to vote on the government and get to hold office in the government. And they essentially get to run the place. Which I've always found interesting. I understand a moral argument of saying if you're in the military, you've shown your commitment to the country, so here's your reward. But I don't see how it's better if the only people who did it were soldiers. How does that make for a better government?
There'd have to be other ways you could serve besides the military that seemed every bit as committed. I don't know. You could have some...
Donate organs?
No. Some kind of civil organization where you're putting in a lot of time and you're not putting your... Perhaps not putting your life on the line, but you're dedicating time and resources and whatever. Like, you serve a tour of duty, you know, building roads and bridges and houses.
But I still don't see how any of this... makes for a better guy. I mean, I guess it shows that you're awake and that you're active, but honestly, to a certain degree, if you're not, there's already a bar for that because they don't let me sit at home and use my TV remote to vote. Like, you already have to show a certain amount of interest and activity in order to vote. A lot of people don't vote.
I don't know if people who are
committed.
Yeah. I don't know if it's so much about advocating a better government per se, but the idea is that if it's not so much about commitment as it's about you have a stake in it. You feel like you've poured some sweat and or blood into it, so therefore you're going to it's going to mean something to you to participate and to vote and everything else. And if you're not willing to pour sweat and or blood into it, then, like you said, you might not even vote, and yet you're still going to enjoy all the privileges of citizenship and everything else. So,
well, but the question specifically says, is the U.S. screwed because of that?
Well,
how would that screw us, or more accurately, how would the alternative plan unscrew us? That is one thing I really love about our country. We're the United States of America. We're the U.S., so you can say us, and it's us. I've always thought that was awesome.
Well, again, it seems like the issue seems to be here whether or not a lot of people who don't really care about anyone else but themselves are in positions of power, and everyone sort of lets them do that because nobody has done any period of service that gives them a stake in how things are should be going. I guess I don't think that this would work. I mean, you're asking how would this make it better? It might make people more engaged, or it would cause sort of a gap between the people who are engaged over here and the people who aren't engaged over here, and that we'd be able to recognize them more clearly than we ever could before. Would it make a better United States, whatever, it would make things better? I tend to think that not necessarily would it do that. To me, the problem in the United States, as far as people not being engaged, not having a stake in what's going on, or whatever, is people are sort of detached from their geographical location, I guess you could say. You know,
for those of you who aren't watching the video version of our podcast, which is everybody, I'm making my confused but interested face.
Oh, is that the but interested? I didn't know.
Yeah,
but interested.
Like, how do you mean?
Well,
no, my just confused face involves a lot of eye rolling and shit because I don't give a damn. This is the huh? Like, I'm interested.
Let me start. Oh God, I'm loath to go into this topic because
I'm gonna laugh at you.
No, because it's sort of about current events, and we always.
Oh, I hate those.
We always avoid those.
Oh, but, God, are we gonna occupy Iowa City?
But, well, it's
been done.
Let's just put it this way: it's popular to say right now on this Thanksgiving Day that there is a 1% that sort of lords over
yes.
a 99%.
Yes.
Okay. Now let's think about that concept for a second. How is that even possible? Now, people will say, oh, well, because they have influence in the government, they have influence in the financial sector, and they have money and all this stuff. But all of the things they list, it does not logically follow that they are going to somehow completely overwhelm 99% of the population. They don't even have the majority of the wealth, really. So what is really causing this perception that, you know, 1% is controlling the 99%? Of course, what's causing that perception is a fair portion of the 99% believe it. If that 99% would just say, you know, to heck with you guys, we are going to sort of figure out ways to form our own communities and be self-sufficient and take care of ourselves, that would go a long way to fixing a lot of the problems that we have. We can't rely on the government to fix these problems because the government's part of the problem. We can't rely on corporations to sort of, you know, regulate themselves or whatever because that's part of the problem. What we need to do is people need to, well, like I was saying about being attached to your geographical location, if people, for example, ate more of their food and it was locally grown, let's say they were doing that. For one, they'd be healthier. I know that's debatable, but there's plenty of research out there to suggest that they'd be healthier if they did that. But they'd also care more about what's going on. Like, they'd care if there's a hog confinement area being set up near the farm that their food is growing in. You know, they'd care about local issues a little bit more in terms of their food. But then what if also they were making sure other necessities were taken care of locally as much as they possibly could? Then they'd start caring more about whether or not a Walmart's moving in and how much tax revenue is being taken out of their pockets by Walmart's tax breaks, by the fact that that stores are closing down. So when they go into Walmart, they won't just be concerned what the price is on the T-shirt. They'll be concerned what the cost is. The price might be $15, but with all the tax problems that you run into with Walmart coming in, you'll realize it's actually going to cost you $30. So it's better off to shop at the local store. And if we can make all of our local communities self-sufficient and sustainable in terms of our necessities, you know, maybe be global with the luxuries, maybe. You know, TVs, you don't have to make your TVs local. Get your TVs from Korea or China, from wherever you want. But get as much food and clothing and your building materials as possible from local, sustainable sources, as local as possible. That's going to undercut a lot of corporate greed. It's going to take a lot of control away from higher government organizations that are bloated, and the whole reason they want that corporate money is because they want to control more stuff. The more that 99% in each individual community overlapping each other, you know, and interrelated and interconnected and interdependent upon one another, when they take control of this stuff and become more locally focused for their necessities, you know, maybe staying global for the luxuries, I think that that would solve a lot of problems. And then, you know, it's not really about occupying Wall Street or dumping the tea into Boston Harbor. It's about liberating Main Street. That's what you really need to do.
I'm Charlie Rose. My guest tonight has been Dr. William Wright, Esquire.
Shut up.
And good night, everyone. Yeah, I'm not going to add anything to that.
But am I wrong?
I'll let you stand or fall on that one.
Do you think that's incorrect? Or
I'm not going to say.
Well, you have an opinion, Shirley. Sorry, I didn't mean to call you Shirley.
I have an opinion. Don't call me Shirley. Ow. You know, when Leslie Nielsen first died, I was like, you know what? I'm getting a little sick of him, so okay. But now I miss him.
When he first died.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't that long ago, but it's been a while now.
I thought you were going to say, but then when he died the second time, that was pretty awful.
No, right when he died. No, I have nothing to add to that.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to go.
No, I think we'll see what people say.
Oh, no.
They're going to love you or hate you, and I have a feeling you're going to get more love out of this.
Well, I don't know.
I'm letting you stand. Mark, I'm letting you Mark rise or ideas. Fall on your own here.
Mark has his ideas here, so we'll see.
Yeah, thank you, Mark, for your question. We're going to move on now.
He doesn't like that I got political.
I don't say that. I'm not saying nothing.
In a way, I was trying not to be political. Let's take it
you
away.
Failed.
From, well, then let's take it away from politics and make it about our lives, our daily lives, right?
Near the end there, you totally sounded like you were running for office.
Oh, my God,
that whole
no.
Liberate Main Street thing? Yeah, you totally did. All right. Huh. I'm going to guess this one was digested.
Okay.
Because it starts... excuse me. It starts with, in parentheses, the phrase... too long. And I don't think the writer, who is Sir Guido, by the way, I don't think Sir Guido
put that at the
like
top.
Had all these thoughts in his head and decided that. I'm going to guess that this is perhaps an older and more short-lived form of digestion that they had in the early days.
Okay.
That we've all forgotten about.
Okay.
But anyway, yeah, so it says too long. And then it says... am I a geek god or a sad human being? Signed, Sir Guido.
Well, I don't really know him that well.
Bless you. I don't know if y'all are hearing this, but the producer's got some sneezes. Everybody say bless you to the producer.
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah, that's sweet. Surely you know him. You've heard our intro.
Yeah, well, I don't...
That's pretty much all
I don't
all
think
there
I
is.
Know him well enough to make a judgment.
He's got
like
YouTube
that.
Videos and stuff. You should check it out. I find it a ridiculous question, though. Because not only do I not see why he couldn't be both, I don't see any way he's not both. I think he is, in fact, a geek god and a sad human being. So,
well, that answers that.
Yeah.
Thank you,
but
Sir Guido.
I tell you, he's got some game because I've seen pictures of his significant other on Facebook, and she's pretty smoking. So he's got to have something going for him.
Okay.
Yeah. But yes, as a geek, you're a god. As a human being, you're sad. So, but you have an awesome nickname. I've always thought so.
Yeah, we're legally obligated to say that now,
it's
aren't
part
we?
Of the, it's part of the settlement.
Yes. I did notice that he's no longer occupying the hat, so we must have cut a deal.
What a lot of people don't know is the magical talking hat has no bathrooms in it. So he could only occupy for so long, and then he had to go take a leak.
Well, did he not have to, did we not have to provide that by some kind of First Amendment right or something?
It's still in court about that.
Okay.
We haven't got the injunction.
I know there's no protected right of urination, but there is they twist it around like, well, if you don't give me a place to relieve myself, then I will have to leave, which means I won't be able to exercise my First Amendment right. It's really...
I think it would be really cool if there was a right to urination. I have the right to pee any place.
Well, there... Well, you probably do have a right...
Reminds me of an episode of Grimm I watched.
Rather than not, I suppose. It's just not mentioned in the Constitution. Unless it is in some obscure way that we haven't figured out yet.
I'm thankful for my right to pee. On this day of thanks today.
Are we ready to move on?
Okay.
And be thankful for something else?
Yes. But yes, you are a geek god, Sergio.
Rejoice and give thanks.
And a sad human being.
This also was digested. It's getting gross.
Does it say too long? Or it has the special mark? All right. Who's it from?
It's Blood Sparrow, I think.
Does it say Blood Sparrow?
Blood Sparrow has gone into stand-up. Oh, okay. She's saying she's moving into a different topic. Okay. Who are some of your favorite comedians or comedies, and what's your all-time favorite bit from it/them?
Now,
you might have something to say. I'm not a huge comedy
believe this is implying that Blood Sparrow has switched to a new topic. I believe this is, in fact, implying that Blood Sparrow is attempting a career as a stand-up comic.
Oh, okay. Well,
however, I happen to know Blood Sparrow recently went through a sudden and traumatic change of state.
Like she's not a solid anymore? She's a liquid?
Exactly. No, I mean she's not a Californian anymore. Oh, she's a Texan.
Okay. Whoa!
Yes. Yeah, as soon as I said change of state, I knew where that was going. I just let you run with it. Yeah, no, she had to move. But the good news is she had to move to Austin, so it's like cool.
Oh, Austin. Okay.
But
No, wait. We're not being critical of Texas. It's just there's a huge difference between California and well, maybe you're being critical of Texas, but
dude, you're the one who said yowza.
Well, that's a huge change. I'm just saying.
Yeah.
It'd be a huge change from California to Iowa too, and I love Iowa, so
yowza.
It's just a big change. That's all.
There's
I'm
actually a small town in Iowa called Yowza. So.
no, that's you know my cheer.
There's a town in Oregon called Boring. And the joke goes, and about 200 others that should be. There's also a town in Oregon called Drain. D-R-A-I-N. Drain.
Hmm. Well, you know, the town of Hell in Michigan was named that way because the fella who kind of started it, he didn't found a town. He opened a mill and he had a distillery there and stuff, and people just sort of hung out around there.
Well, yeah.
And so it kind of became like a town. And they went to the guy and said, "Yeah, we're starting a town. What should we call it?" He goes, "I don't care. Call it hell for all I care." And so they did.
That, I feel like that's apocryphal.
Well,
I feel like it is.
That's the story the residents of hell tell.
I feel like...
call it hell for all I care.
And they said a good idea is a good idea. Anyway, if Blood Sparrow has gone into stand-up comedy, I am really kind of psyched about this. But she would have had much more opportunity back where she was. So I don't know. But there is a scene in Austin. So Blood Sparrow, you need to let us know if this is a continuing thing because that would be awesome.
Yes,
to find out about. And someday I'll go back to Austin and then we'll check you out. And you'll have to make us laugh.
Make us
laugh, damn it. You could pull a gun on us there and do it because it's Texas. So.
And it would be funny.
Ha!
Favorite comedians or comedies? Yes. You probably have some things to say here. I don't know.
Big fan of Chris Hardwick. Go figure. There's a lot of stand-up comics. I've always been into stand-up comedy. I grew up with Bill Cosby. He and I lived on the same street.
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say Bill Cosby, but, like, of course. I mean, that's a little too obvious.
I grew up memorizing his albums.
Yeah, me too.
When I got older, I got a little more into Eddie Murphy then.
See, I never did get into Eddie Murphy.
And then I got into that phase in the late 80s, early 90s, where everybody was obsessed with stand-up comedy. I was also obsessed with stand-up comedy at that time.
Well, you know what? I've never been obsessed with stand-up comedy. Still, my favorite comedians are, you know, Abbott, Costello, you know, a lot of those old vaudeville groups.
Yeah.
Not so much. Stand-up's just never really done it for
Probably
me.
My favorite stand-up comedian, which is interesting because I'm pretty sure that's who the producer's been listening to most of the night, is Eddie Izzard.
Oh, yeah, he's very good.
Eddie Izzard's hilarious.
He's very good, yeah.
And in general, I'm getting a little bit into some British comedians, mostly through the show QI and through some other stuff. I'm really into David Mitchell right now. There's a series of YouTube videos called David Mitchell's Soapbox, and they're very cool and they're very funny. And you probably saw one of them because we put that video out there about being able to care less.
George Carlin was always great. Yeah.
Was good.
You know, and I also always liked Bob Newhart, which I know probably a lot of other
I never liked
don't.
Bob Newhart so much in his shows or in his acting, but no, his stand-up was pretty good.
I liked his stand-up a lot.
And I used to watch, we used to have a channel on the high end of the digital stuff that doesn't exist anymore here that would show reruns of Rowan and Martin's Laughin', and I got a lot of interest.
Some really good stuff, yeah.
Watching Lily Tomlin in her early days,
yeah,
that was awesome.
Yeah. Well, yes, and a lot of the early Saturday Night Live
Second
City. Remember when that was on television?
The SCTV thing, yes. Yeah. I
Second City
that.
TV. Because you had the McKinseys, we talked about them a little
bit. Oh, yes, yes.
But, yeah, a lot of good stuff from there.
You know, I have a confession to make. I still have never seen Strange Brew.
You've never seen it?
Never seen it.
Oh, man.
I practically had the Great White North album memorized.
Our family used to watch Strange Brew, like, I think every year, like, around Thanksgiving or Christmas or something. We used to watch it. It's based on Hamlet, you know.
I did know that.
But, yeah, we were big fans of... We would stay up late to watch the McKinseys on SCTV.
See, I'm a little young for SCTV. I did occasionally see bits of it. But I'm a little young for it.
As far as comedies go, you know, there are a couple comedies we watch at home. Like, we like What About Bob?
Oh, yeah.
That's
a great
film, man. I love that. I don't know what my favorite bit is, but probably while he's tied up and the psychologist is going to blow him up and he's trying to figure out what kind of therapy he's using. Death therapy, he calls it. And he's talking about how... He's trying to figure it out, so he's saying, okay, let's see, you're trying to say I'm tied up in knots. And if I don't untie my knots, I'm going to explode. Okay, untie the knots. And so he starts working on that. And just the way only Bill Murray can do it, you know?
Yeah.
Which, it's really cool that he could still do that shtick after all this time. Like... Not everybody has been able to do that. Like, God, what's
Eddie
name?
Murphy for those.
Well, but I'm mostly thinking of Chevy Chase.
Yeah,
he's
got a whole new deal now.
Yeah, he's got a whole new deal now, and but there was a while there where he didn't know what his deal was going to be.
Yeah, no.
He just couldn't find it.
The talk show years.
Yeah, Community's really saved him. But Bill Murray can still do the same shtick, and it's still funny. I don't know how he can do that, but it's pretty amazing.
I liked Dudley Moore. I was sorry when he died.
So him. What about the new remake of Arthur? Did you ever see that?
No.
Refused to?
Well, didn't quite care enough. I haven't decided if I like Russell Brand yet. Helen Mirren almost swung it for me, but it just seems... Well, it seemed... Basically, if they hadn't called that movie Arthur, I might have gone to see it.
I just don't
it wasn't know. Really like even the same story. I mean, it was, but it wasn't.
Why did they even need to make a new one? I don't understand.
Money.
Oh, yeah, I guess.
That's the only reason they ever remake anything.
I just don't understand why they... You know, like, making a Dukes of Hazzard movie, that's one thing, because there never was one. or a A-Team movie. But Arthur was a movie.
Yeah. That no, but you, they do that all the time.
You can still watch today that has its own...
Dude, they did it with Footloose. We've been through that.
Yeah, I don't understand that either.
Because people pay for it. People pay money. The nostalgia factor. Well, okay, here's why. They remade Footloose. We all knew it was going to suck. Trish and I still paid money with money to get tickets to go see it because she loved the original.
Oh, yeah, that's true. I guess that's true.
Like, and this wasn't even like it might be bad. We knew it was going to be bad. Yeah, yeah. And we paid money to do it.
You need to say what your favorite bit from a comedy film is or something. Do you have a favorite bit? Our favorite comedy?
I'm trying to think.
Seems like all the comedians we're naming are like old.
There's a certain... I mean, I spent years in love with the first two Beverly Hills Cop movies. I taped them both off of TV so they were edited, but still. And watched them and watched them and watched them. I literally... That's the VHS tape I ever broke was my taped off of the TV Beverly Hills Cop.
Wow.
Because I watched it that much and had that whole damn thing. I thought that stuff was hilarious.
Hmm. See, I never really got into Eddie Murphy at all. I just didn't think he was...
I got way into Eddie
Murphy. Didn't think he was that funny.
Nowadays, I feel weird about it, but I did at the time.
Oh, you know who else I really loved? Carol Burnett and the Carol Burnett Show.
See, awesome. When I was younger, I didn't. Now, I think it's the most hilarious thing ever. I was talking with somebody about this the other day. Mama's Family, I feel the same way. I mean, I'm still not in love with it, but when I was younger, I didn't like it, and nowadays, I appreciate it more. Like, there's just something to it. But no, Carol Burnett's fucking amazing.
Yeah. I love that show. But I liked Hee Haw, too.
I was into Hee Haw at the time, and I don't really understand why now.
I don't...
Well, are there any current sitcoms that you watch?
Oh, no. I swore off sitcoms a long time ago. Well, with the exception of 30 Rock. I mean, we have watched that. And we did watch Arrested Development, which I thought was very good.
Which is supposedly...
It's coming back. Yeah. I don't know how I feel about that.
I don't either, but I don't think I'll know until I see it.
I would have liked it to continue, but now that it's been gone for a while, coming back, I'm not so sure.
It does feel a little forced, but we'll see.
30 Rock, I do enjoy that. I think it's pretty funny.
I like 30 Rock. We watch Hot in Cleveland. I don't really understand why we like it. It's very retro. It's very much a throwback to earlier sitcom style, but we just enjoy it. When I was younger, I was way into Golden Girls.
Oh, yeah, see, never...
You know, and I have that dream.
I know.
But we can't talk about
it. Yeah, let's not talk about it. Well, but actually, some of the funniest things
it's true, though.
I know.
I'm just saying people are going to hear this and think it's like a bad joke. No, there is a deep, dark secret of a dream I have about Golden Girls that is a project that someday we will do that you don't get to know about.
I don't know if we're ever going to
But you're
do
the guy who thinks we're always going to do all my crazy ideas.
Except that one.
Really?
Yeah, I don't think so.
How did you pick that one out?
Because
who's going to
do it? I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, you are. We've been through this.
Who am I going to... Never mind. Anyway.
If we get Mick back here, it's you, me, Kirk, and Mick, I think.
Oh, my God. I don't know.
And we've got a basement, and we got a camera.
God, this just sounds worse and worse.
Basically, all we've been lacking is the script. But anyway, this is a whole other thing.
Oh, man, if this was a radio program, the phones would be lighting up. What are you talking about? Anyhow, the funniest material I've seen lately, though, has usually been in, like, an animated form, like an Adult Swim or whatever.
Some
of that's the funniest stuff, like Venture Brothers.
Venture Brothers was hilarious. And I think Archer's hilarious. It's really offensive, but it's also really funny.
Well, I haven't seen that. Venture Brothers is pretty offensive a lot of times, too.
Archer is worse than Venture Brothers, but yeah,
that's
Venture
hard
Brothers
to imagine.
Has got a lot of shit in it. Venture Brothers is pretty awesome, though. I did enjoy
Well, mostly because, you know, a lot of that stuff is the best satire out there, and I'm a total sucker for satire, I have to say.
The funniest thing I saw in a long time was Black Dynamite.
Well,
speaking of satire.
I haven't seen that, but...
Oh, man. Because and that's what you are supposed to do, is you're not supposed to point out that you're doing satire. You're just supposed to do it. And it was, oh, God, it was beautiful. I need to watch that again. Hilarious. I'll shake that demon heroin out of you, kid. No, Black Dynamite, don't do that. We already tried that.
I don't know if we gave Bloodsboro what she wanted here. I always feel bad because she always, you know, she gives us all this great material, and I don't ever feel like we really give back adequate.
This show's not about giving back.
It's not?
The show's about sucking life out of the 12 people that listen.
Well, I guess we're doing that.
We are the vampire podcast.
Vampire of podcasts.
Yes, a vampiric podcast.
Yes, yes.
Yes, we're not talking about vampires.
No.
Vampire. Although I do have to say, I was very happy to see on Facebook. I almost shared it the other day. Somebody had posted this picture on Facebook. And it's a split image. And on one side, it's the chick from the Twilight movies. And it says something about, you know, you, Edward, you watch me while I sleep. You have to control yourself from eating me for dinner. And something, I forget, you're hundreds of years older than me, I don't know. But, and you have to literally stop yourself from killing me. I will gladly and willfully fling myself off a cliff for you. And then the picture on the other side is a picture of Sarah Michelle Gellar, and it just says, "No guy is worth your life." And the caption on the bottom said, "I'm so glad I was raised in the time of Buffy instead of in the time of Twilight." And I was like, hells yeah. Knowing their shit.
Disturbing trend, anyway.
Yes.
I mean, you know, that was then, this is now. Seems like things have gotten worse.
A little bit. No, but this is all about exploiting our listeners. Which reminds me, I've been meaning to exploit our listeners for a while, and I keep forgetting.
What? You keep forgetting? You just said that's what we... That's a,
I know,
we
but there's
do.
Specific things I want. I'm thankful for my listeners so they can do this stuff for me. Well, I've been saying for a while I want a new intro, and I think I've figured out the kind of intro. So, Sergito, you should work on this. I want little teenage anime girl intro.
No, really?
Gorgeous Tiny Chicken Machine Show kind of thing. Magikur! Dunking! Hattu! You know, that kind of shit. I want that. But the other thing that I want, even more than that, is I want magical talking hat memes. I want like pictures of a cat, and it says like Iken has magical talking hat, or like a shot of a shirtless Ryan Gosling who's like, "Hey girl, let's snuggle up under this blanket and listen to the magical talking hat."
Yeah, that would be something else.
I want James Vanderbeek crying because he missed the original episode 12. You know, shit like that. And sad Keanu Reeves because the episode's almost over. But the problem is I don't know nothing about no Photoshop and nothing, so I can't make those.
Well, you know, I was
make us magical talking hat memes.
I was talking to the Magical Writing Waffle about...
Oh, were you?
A...
How did he feel about how he treated that comment, by the way?
I think he was... Well, he hadn't heard it when I talked to him. I haven't talked to him since, so I guess I don't know, but he...
We don't want him to go back to that country with that dog and his brother.
No. He, before Portal 2 was going to come out, he was going to make us a special Gladys intro and outro, you know.
Oh.
Talking about how, you know, this podcast...
That would be awesome, but wouldn't we get sued or something?
...is designed to test your... tolerance of boredom. Well, I don't know. That's what we did. We did talk about that, and the fact is, there are digital voices that you can use that sound a lot like her.
Oh, that are totally fair use.
Yeah, and just
like those fuckers that the 15-minute commercial things or whatever.
Yeah. So if you were to use that and just not, you know, just make it be suggested, and of course it's satirical and everything, that maybe it would be okay. I don't know.
Yeah.
But that ended up not happening. But we could still do that. That might be fun.
I love it. See, when you said before Portal 2 came out, I assumed you meant he was going to do it, and then Portal 2 came out, and that's what he spent all of his time doing.
No, before Portal 2 comes out, it'd be like, oh, look, we're promoting
I thought it was that he got sucked into that.
No, he...
Somebody was going to make us an Elder Scrolls one, and then Skyrim came out, and so now they're just... Spending
Do we have time for another one? Or
not really.
Oh, okay. Well, we want to thank Bloodsparrow,
Sergito,
and Mark McKibben for
thank you. And
we're thankful on Thanksgiving for you.
If you would like to write into the Magical Talking Hat, and you would.
And we'd be thankful.
Yes. Write into the Magical Talking Hat at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. Also, go to the blog, especially this time, because I think there's a lot of shit we said that is wrong. So you need to go there for the corrections at themagicaltalkinghat.com. So check that out. Also, go to Facebook and like us, please. We want you to like us. We're insecure.
And write a review on iTunes.
On iTunes.
And it doesn't have to be a 5-star one. It can be even a 1-star. If you want to complain, complain. Just
get it
out there.
I feel like I have sort of negated this because when Blue Claw first put his out, he only gave it 3 stars and I bitched about it.
Oh.
So if you give me less than 5 stars... I will probably bitch at you, but if you give me 5 stars, I will probably also bitch at you. So
he's an equal opportunity.
I will bitch at you.
Yeah.
If you don't, I've already been bitching at you for not putting out a review. So really, that's a constant. Don't let that influence you.
The memes idea is good. That's a good idea.
I do. Hey, girl.
That's a great.
The producer has really gotten into feminist Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. Right. Right.
A lot.
What about the Feminist Hulk? Maybe the Feminist Hulk.
I haven't seen Feminist Hulk.
What? You have to look up the Feminist Hulk. It's pretty funny.
yeah. So get on those too.
Feminist Hulk, smashing the gender binary.
Oh, nice.
Yeah,
nice.
it's pretty good.
Yeah. So do all those things. And also get more people to listen, because listeners are power, and we want power.
Well, I'm feeling kind of tired after that big dinner, aren't you?
Yeah. This podcast has a lot of tryptophan in it.
Yeah. I think we need to take a nap.
That's what I should have said, the only podcast with extra tryptophan. Yes.
Sleep. Wow, that was fun, the first annual Thanksgiving episode.
It was, which we'll never be here for.
Nope.
But where did that turkey leg go?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Now you're supposed to say, oh, what are you talking about? All right, well, happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Happy Thanksgiving.
We'll see you next year, and also next week.
Next week.
you totally ate that turkey leg.
Please disregard the previous hour of useless audio. This has been a production of the Magical Talking Hat Podcast. If you would like to contact us, and I don't know why you would, please do so at themagicaltalkinghat@gmail.com. All music is provided courtesy of Jay Underberg. More of his PodSafe audio can be found at podsafeaudio.com/J_Underberg. Thank you.